Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Osage Baptist. All stand, we just sing, Our God is Greater. Amen.
One, two, three, four.
Our God is stronger. God.
Our God is greater. Amen. I want to welcome everybody to Osage Baptist Church this morning. Just glad you could be here. I mean, I'm just glad I can be anywhere right now. I tell you, it has been rough, but we're glad and feeling better and just glad to see everybody here today. And it's just a blessing. Today is going to be Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Starting tomorrow will be the Statewide Evangelism Conference for those attending that. And January 26th, this next Wednesday, we will plan on having Awana and youth in. As long as it don't snow or something again, we're planning on having that. So just as long as Alpina is in school, we will be here. Amen? Amen. Again, going to school this week? Okay. They're supposed to be there, so don't forget that. So, any other announcements we need to make? No? All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We could come into your house and into your presence. Lord, we know you are greater. You are the healer. You are the protector, Lord. And you are our rock. And Lord, we're to base everything on you. Lord, we just turn this time over to you and let you just guide and direct us, speak to us, Lord, and hear our voices as we sing praises to you. We love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, if it's convenient for you, I'm going to ask you to stand again as we sing the Glory Land Way.
I'm in.
He is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I am a tree, bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. Daniel 3 tells us about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they would not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar. So he had a fire built 7 times hotter than usual, so hot that the soldiers that threw them in were killed. Nebuchadnezzar looked inside the fire, and asked the guys that was with him, didn't we put three people in that fire? And he said, yes, we did. Well, I see four. Song's called Another in the Fire, and just so you always know that he is beside us. In the fire, taking the oceans back, getting us through anything that comes in our way. Another in the fire. There's your grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look in the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the sea. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears that burden where another died for me. There is another in the fire. We're glad that nothing stands between us. There's no other name but the name that is Jesus. You was and still is and will be through it all. So come on, may in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. Yeah. I know I will never be alone. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the water holding back the sea. And should I ever need reminding, after you've been to me, I count the joy from every be another in the fire. Oh, there'll be another in the fire. Oh, be seated, please.
If you're working in children's church, we're going to let you take charge of your group right now. Thank God for children's church. Isn't it good? You parents. Yeah. Take a little breather. I looked down and saw Catherine's hands up, and I thought, wow, she is praising. And then I kept looking, and she was not. She was ballerini, being a ballerina. She had a ballerina on her dress. I have a prayer request that's very serious today. Travis Evans lives in the Huntsville area. Some time back, two or three years, maybe more than that. Time passes fast. They brought the message on the call here. At least his wife did. He had been battling a bad headache for 2 weeks. Travis had been. He went to urgent care on Thursday because it got so bad. They found a mass with a CT scan in his brain. He's been diagnosed with a very aggressive form of brain cancer. At this point, it does not have a survival rate. Doctors are giving them no hope, just speaking of time he might have left. He and his wife were blessed with two adopted children a few years ago. They have a young family, so we need to be praying for their children. And he and his wife, they're hoping to get into MD Anderson for them to look at his condition. Let's pray for Travis Evans. So would you join me and let me lead us in a word of prayer right now? Our Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy, and families get bad news, struggle with those things through life. This seems to be a very hard thing. But just as Mike sang, there's someone else in the fire here. We just pray this family be able to identify it. God, help us to continue to pray for them, reach out to them, and love. We just pray that you'd wrap your loving arms around this little family, and we just pray for your blessing to be on them, Lord, that they would be able to see your hand. And we know that you're able to give them peace. You're the God of all comfort. We pray for comfort for this family, and Lord, we pray for healing, if it be possible, in this young man's life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you for being here today. We've Seems like it's been a long time since I've seen you. We missed last Sunday. We went to church sitting on the couch with the laptop on the coffee table, and it was quite a struggle, the four of us. I told Gwen when it was finally over, and I was hoping the guy would hurry up. When it was finally over, I told Gwen I felt like that we had just had church in a cage full of monkeys, and it was not very inspirational. I'm especially thankful today for Children's Church. It's just different. God gave young people the ability to have babies, and I'm glad. Can you imagine? Get up in your 70s and your wife says, "I'm going to have a baby." Now, that's not true. We're not. But children were meant for young people. I'm glad. It's not a celebration, but we're taking this Sunday to honor life, and especially the life of the unborn. When we look out across our group and we see these babies and these little ones, we're to honor that life. And those that aren't born yet, those that are going to be, we want to honor that. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalms 139. A quick way to find the book of Psalms, I say this a lot, that you'll remember it after I'm gone, perhaps. Just open it right in the middle of your Bible, and you'll be close. And Psalms 139, and beginning with verse 1, let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Isn't that great? How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God, and depart from me, and depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them that with perfect hatred I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You may be seated. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's just so incredible to me that God knows us so well, knows everything that there is to know about us, even knew us before we were born. When we were formed in secret here, the Bible says that God knew us. And He's never made any mistakes. He has allowed your mother and father to conceive you and for you to be born, and He did not make any mistake about that. And all of those that are unborn in the day in which you and I live, God has not made any mistakes about those. And as I continue in this message, we're going to make some discoveries that I wish were not true, but they are true. I wish there was more that we could do that would change things. You are doing quite a lot. Probably many things that you do not even know about. If you pass by the offering plate this morning when you come through the foyer and you put some money in there, you took a stand against abortion. And some of that will go to save lives. And you and I are involved in that in lots of ways. We're involved in it to try to reach those that are not born yet, and the mothers and the fathers of those that have children in the womb, to try to convince them to make the right kind of choice to keep that child, and understand that that child is a marvelous creation of God. I was raised with a Down syndrome boy. He was a boy about 60 years old. And every boy that grew up in Gilbert, Arkansas, grew up with Jack Eldon Baker. And it put within me a great appreciation for Down syndrome children and men and women. Probably, if his mother had lived in our day, she would have been given an opportunity, or at least talked to, about aborting that baby and not delivering it. I cannot imagine life without Jack. I knew when we went to the store, his mom and dad ran the general store at Gilbert, and his mother ran the post office and took care of the store. They were farm people. They had a farm. They were dairy farmers. If you went to the store, you knew that Jack was going to hug you. And he was a big guy. I can remember in the summertime, we were raised in the country. We didn't wear shoes and we didn't wear a shirt in the summertime. And I can remember Jack wore flip-flops, but he didn't wear a shirt, and he always wore Bermuda shorts. And he hugged you when you came to the store, and he was a big guy. I can remember I would just disappear in his body when he would hug me. And I wouldn't now have overcome that. But he would, his mother would say, "Oh, okay, Jack, that's enough. Now quit hugging Lanny. You've hugged him enough." Something about that did a work in my inner spirit that caused me to love folks that perhaps were not created exactly like me. We've had the privilege here at Osage of having a Down syndrome man that was part of our service for a few years. When I pastored the church at Tuckerman, we had a young lady that was Down syndrome for all the time that I pastored there, for the 10 years that I pastored there. Her name was Shannon. And Shannon brought joy. And when she was being raised by her grandparents, and when her grandparents began to come to church, they brought with them a great joy into the church. She hugged everybody she came in contact with. She loved without any reservation. And her parents came to me. Her grandparents, the ones that were raising her, and her parents did get saved, and they began to come. But her grandparents were the ones that were raising Shannon, and they came to me and said, "Shannon wants to get baptized, and we're afraid that she doesn't understand, and want you to come and talk to her." So I went to their home and visited with Shannon, and I said, "Shannon, why do you want to get baptized?" And she said, "Because Jesus was." And I said, "That's good enough for me. Is that not good enough for you?" And so we baptized Shannon. It was really a celebration time for the church. All of us are wonderfully and glorious made. God has put all of our parts in order the way that He intended them to be. And He has never made any mistakes. And how blessed you are if you have a special child in your midst and you're getting to be raised with that child or know that child. I met up with a mother. Several years older than her, but she went to the same school that I did, and she has a little girl that's Down syndrome, and I met up with them, and they were walking along in Walmart, and I wanted to meet her daughter, and we talked a little bit, and I looked at that mother, and I said, "You are so blessed." "Oh," she said, I know, "I am so blessed to have this child. This child has brought so much blessing into our life." 49 years since Roe versus Wade, and 42 million American babies have been legally aborted. Incredible, isn't it? Unspeakable, unthinkable. If we lived 75 years ago and some family decided they did not want their child that was still in the womb and it was going to be inconvenient for them to have the child. It might upset their career. It might upset the family. It might cost them more than they thought they had to pay. And they made a decision to have that child killed before it was born. America would be in an outrage. We would be in an outrage. It would be plastered all over the news, and there would be billboards about it. And there would be great protest in all of our cities against it. And yet, the time in which we live, a baby every 20 seconds, three babies a minute, 180 an hour, over 4,000 a day. So who are these women getting abortions? They tell us, and I don't want to believe it, but I don't know what to think. 43% of them say that they are Protestants, and 27% of them say that they're Catholic. If this is true, I can't believe it's true. But if it is true, 70% of the abortions in America come from our own ranks. Since 1973, abortion has taken the life of one out of every three babies conceived in America. What is the problem? Well, our culture places convenience and self-satisfaction above life itself. Secondly, we're living in the last days. I want you to look with me in 2 Timothy, the third chapter. And look at verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Verse 3 says, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So how are we, as Southern Baptists, how are we as Christians to combat this awful atrocity in our land? Well, first of all, we can hide the Word of God in the hearts of our young people so that they will not be part of the problem, but rather part of the solution. Anytime that we hide God's Word in the heart of an individual, it is going to make a difference in their future. David said, thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So we're to hide God's Word in the hearts of our children. We're to listen to them as they quote Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. And listen to those children quote those Scriptures day after day until they become a part of their living, a part of their life, into their hearts so that they will recall them. Also hiding it in our own hearts so that we won't be part of the problem. We can teach our children that the sanctity of human life reaches the unborn, but it reaches all human life, elderly, and all human beings, no matter who they are. If it's the man on Skid Row, if it's the homeless, if it's the mentally ill, if it's those that are incapable of dealing with life, if it's the drug addict, if it's the prostitute, the man in prison or the woman in prison, all life is sacred. And I say that with knowing that I could be taken wrong, because I believe in capital punishment. I believe in quick justice in the society in which we live. We can teach our people that life begins at conception. You believe that? I believe that. Life begins at conception. Jeremiah tells us before he was born, he was called of God. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Before Jeremiah was born. Can you believe it? Now finally, a lesson from the children of Israel. I read this earlier, and I thought, my goodness, this fits us. This is where we are. In verse 34, in chapter 106, the psalmist says, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, talking about the children of Israel when they came into the promised land, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. You see, God has told us in His Word to come out from among them and be ye separate. And yet, we fail to do that. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and went a whoring with their own inventions. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against His people, insomuch that He abhorred His own inheritance. And He gave them unto the hand of the heathen. And they that hated them ruled over them. Does that scare you? It scares me. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection unto their hand. Let's stand together. Mike, if you and Monica will come and help us. Rod, if you'll come and help me. So where do you start? Well, I have a starting place. And the starting place is to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Become a Christian. Pray and ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin. Come into your heart and be your Savior. He'll change your life. And that's what He wants to do, and that's what you want to do, is to follow Him and become one of His children. That's the starting place. If you're here today and you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, would you do it today? Would you make that decision today? And as Mike leads us, and I'm here, and Roger's here. You can come to me, you can come to Raj. make this decision for Christ. Perhaps you're here and God's dealt with your heart to become a part of this fellowship, either by following the Lord in believer's baptism or transferring a letter here from another Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, or on a statement that you believe that Christ died for you and you've accepted Him as your Savior and you have followed Him in scriptural baptism, and we would accept you that away. Maybe it's a recommitment on your part. God's dealing with your heart. You know you need this change, but yet you've got this battle going on in your mind that the devil fights you every Sunday. You stand during this time. This is the hardest part for you when we come to this time to give an invitation. You wished we didn't even have it because it's hard on you, because the Lord is urging you to make a decision for Christ, and yet the devil is trying to keep you from making that decision for Him. And so there's a battle going on in your mind. And then when the invitation is finally ended and we're dismissed, you kind of sigh of relief. Well, that pressure's off for a little bit. There's still that still small voice that's speaking to your heart that you need to make a decision for Christ. And the opportunity's always there, whether you're here or not. Would you make that decision today for Christ? Would you step out from where you're at and come to where I'm at or where Roger is and accept Christ as your Savior? Make that decision to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, become a part of this fellowship? As we sing, you come.
Thank everybody for being here today. And if God is still dealing with you, please find somebody and talk to them today. And take the opportunity today to reach out to your children, your grandchildren, and tell them you love them. All right? Brother Greg, will you dismiss us in prayer, please? Anybody know that answer? Hey, Pastor. We having fifth Sunday dinner next week? Let's do it! Y'all bring two plates. Bring one full and one empty. We'll eat one and fill the other, okay? So, go ahead.